Let's say this as a foundation. This Maimir asserts that there needs to be a Seder and Avodah. You can't go from the lowest Madregas to the highest Madregas and stay there. It's not realistic. There needs to be, in the Lashon HaRav, Ma'at Ma'at Agor Hashem. Right? Sof Perek Vav. Ma'at Ma'at Agor Hashem. The way it works in the real world is things need to be gradual. Step by step. Why? Azei Deish B'Shaf in the Welt. When the Eibush created his world. It says in the bottom of Kuf Pei Aleph, Seder Hishtashos U'Be'efen D'Ponim V'Ocher, K'moshikosav, Megillah K'suv Ponim V'Ocher, and he says the most basic example of Ponim V'Ocher is Eidus and Kelim and Avayin Elikim, and there and so forth. And since everything is for Yidden, so by Yidden there also needs to be Yidden Ponim V'Ocher, and the psukim that he quotes are very interesting. Acheraim is Acher Avay Lekechem Teleichu, which of course is the pasuk of this maimer. But then he brings a Vaisid Bokun, which is a mitzvah say deraisa. He brings a Vaisid Bokun as the example of Acheraim and Ponim. So the first thing he says is that the way the Eibishter made the world, there's a certain design. And since the Kavonas Abriyah is Bishvil Yisrael, so in Yidden you have to see reflected a similar design, therefore by Yidden also needs to be Ponim Vach. But having said that, the Rebbe refines that, if you will. It's not his only point. It's not his only argument. Or as the Rebbe says, Hagufa Kasha. Okay, so the Eibishter made a world at Ponim V'Ocher. In Avedas Hashem, that's be Ponim V'Ocherayim. Why did he make a world this way? We have to Avedas Hashem this way. So he takes you through several steps. And I'm jumping around. I'm not going in the Seder of the Drush. I want to sort of consolidate this point. He says, number one, we do find a case where a person skips steps. We do find a case where a person goes initially to the highest madrega in Avaida. This is called Avaida Satshuva. That's on page Kufpei. Right, Siv Dalet, he brings the Rambam, and he also brings the Zoyar, that a person can do Tshuva in an instant. The Rambam writes, yesterday this person was Dot Nerochek, and Shachat Zogim, today is Ov, and Dot Yedid, for the Shainus. The Rebbe loves to say this Rambam. Ov, Nechman, Karevi, Yedid. How many Sikhas? The Rebbe just, he just enjoys saying the words. Okay, this Rambam. Yid was far from the Eibish, now he's caught up to the Eibish. And about Tshuva does in a spontaneous, in a moment. Faket, the whole idea of Tshuva, there is Lamaylam and Azman. This is true in the Gedarim of Halacha. A mitzvah takes time. Every mitzvah takes time. Tshuva has no shir. Tshuva can be in a rega. There's no zman for the shir of tshuva. B'shai techa the b'yuchah the person can do tshuva. But the Rebbe says, you can't stay there. Makes it very clear. Tishrei is a zman of tshuva, but it takes a whole winter to consolidate, to solidify, to guarantee, to preserve your tshuva. If a person does tshuva and expects to remain a yid based on that tshuva alone, it's not going to work. Why? It's makif. A makif is not a life. If a person wants to succeed, there needs to be aveda mesudara dafka. Derech ha'tera mitzvos aveda mesudara dafka. In other words, to use very traditional language, all of us know that Yiddishkeit consists of two basic ideas. Tmidin kisidron and musafin kilchason. Tmidin kisidron means doing the same thing constantly. Musafin kilchasim means to grow, and to add, and to initiate. And Torah says every yid needs to have to meet the kisidra or musafin kilchasim. If you know personality, if you know people, yeah, some people love constancy. They don't want anything to change. They're creatures of habit, as they say, and they establish certain patterns in their lives. They don't want it to change. Constantly the same thing. Anything which alters, which modifies their pattern, toignish, the Gemara says, some people, you make the smallest change in life, they get sick, push it. They need things to be the same. These people are very, they're warriors, they're consistent, but there's no chayas, there's no growth. There's to be growth. Le'idach, you have people who are incredibly creative and they can do always new things, but try to again do the same thing three times in a row. Establish roots. Make something permanent. Allow something to germinate, to grow, to establish some kind of a relationship with the world. They don't have no patience. To be a comprehensive yid, Everybody has to break his nature. A Yid whose nature is Pridin Kisidron needs to know you have to have a Chiddush. And a Yid whose nature is Musafim Gachosam needs to know that this is a Makif. It's not a life. It's an experience. It's not a life. Life is lived, and you live it every day. So here again is the same idea. The way the Eibishter set up his world, there needs to be a Seder Vadraga. First Acharayim, and then Ponim. First of all, because the Eibishter Moshav in the Welt. And second of all, because when a person is medalic, a person who makes leaps, like a Baal Tshuva, makes leaps, it's unsustainable. It's not something which lasts. But then there's a third idea, which is very interesting. Very interesting. He says the Eibishter could have made the L'chatchila, when we go out of Mitzrayim, he would give us Pnimius. Why did it have to be? Ale Eschem Me'oni Mitzrayim. And the way this Maimer teaches, what does it mean? Ale Eschem Me'oni Mitzrayim. That even after you leave Mitzrayim, you're still in a state of Oni Mitzrayim. Not Oni was in Mitzrayim, but after you leave Mitzrayim, you have an inyan of Oni Mitzrayim. And Lechtech Acharei Midbar, until 40 years later, you're going to come with Eres Tevar Achav, Eres Avad Cholav Advash. What would have happened? Maybe should have given us Pnimius right away. And he gives a very interesting answer. He brings the pasuk that you all learned and you all know. It's common sense. But there's a vart. Yes, there's a vart. There's a vart. Maybe Hashem did not take Yidden direct route, straight north, due north. They left Egypt directly above southern Egypt. I'm sorry, I guess eastern Egypt is western Eretz Yisrael. You go straight along the coast of the Mediterranean. In fact, they had to go around the circuitous route. Why? Because if they would have gotten there very quickly, there's going to be a Mechoma, and they're going to run back to Mitzrayim. So, the Mishmachanes. So the Maimon explains that if the Eibishter were to give you Pnimius at the outset, and you were to come into Eretz Yisrael immediately with the Pnimius of Elokus, everything would be good, except for one thing. You would not be tested. And Ein Chocham Kabbalah Nesoyim. There is no substitute for a test. You're an engineer who designed a machine and you understand the physics and you understand what you want to achieve, what kind of machine you want to create. You even understand the materials. Right? This is something that people don't realize. That one of the greatest complexities in design and in creativity today is what stuff you use to build. How much heat resistance it has, how much it expands, how much it contracts, how much it wilts. All this has to be incorporated into a design. Because you want it to work. Finished. And you sit there and you figure this machine out. And you on paper it's perfect. Right? Today with the computer you can simulate it, no problems. You design a machine and you build it from the inside out and everything is perfect. Fact of the matter is that when that machine is built, when you build the archetype, the first one, the prototype, the one for which you're going to make the others, you test it. And it's lo yimalet. There is no way that in testing it, you're going to find things that need to be tweaked and modified. It's impossible for a human being, or even for a computer, to anticipate every eventuality in such a way that when the machine, when the prototype is produced, it's ready to go to production. It always needs to be tweaked. Why? Because in the end, you're operating in your head. This machine has to operate in the world. And the world is an adverse place. The world is an incompatible place with ideas. So you want a machine that comes from a person's brain to function really, you have to test it. The only one who could do things without tests and not make mistakes is the Eibishter himself. Why? Because by the Eibishter, before he did it, and after he did it, it's exactly the same. But as though you have to test. What happens when you do a test run with a machine, with a car, with a whatever? You know what you wanted to do. The chokhmah is all there, but until that chokhmah was tested against the actual pavement, it's not chokhmah. I don't think it's a maimer chazal. I think it's a maimer chokhm. I don't think ein chokhmah kibal anesayin is a maimer chazal. 54. Akedas Yitzchak. He's a big chaykir. He has svarim are impossible to read. You have a parsha, a pirush, 100 pages on a shtickle. Okay, but he's 400 years ago, something to that effect. But it's not a gemara, it's not a medish. It's from It's a pirush on teira al derech haseichel, a kira, philosophy. When the Rebbe brings idea, for example, that kashas eat tefillah gives you bad midas, the source is akeda. It's a lot of, you know, we have akeda, achedish. Nesam belubish b'tevah, mamit tevah, it's makeda, pirush b'tevah akeda. Every shtickle is 40-50 pages. It goes on the pashas, and it just has long run on essays. Okay, that's my problem, not his yet. So this, he said, Eichach Malin Yisrael. What that means, no matter what you do, you've got to test it in the real world. So the Rebbe says, if the Eibishter gives us pnimius, he can give us pnimius right away, and we'll live with pnimius, but we don't have any tests. He said, look at precedent. The Eibishter gave other Marishan pnimius without a test. Look what happened. The Eibishter gave us a Torah, a Luchas HaRishenis, without a test. Look what happened. In other words, if you want proof that when you have no nisayin, even if you're a chochom, the chochma will fail you, look at the two greatest moments of chochma, of pnimius, and both of them were catastrophic because there was no nisayin. In other words, the Eibishter is not punishing you when he makes you work to get to your pnimius. Because if you work to get to your pnimius, so you have the chochma, but you have the nisayin. You have the test, the experience, the reality that affects that this chokhmah is real. Otherwise, it's not real chokhmah. Also, you want the Eibishter to create you with the world of pnimius, and you should never have any tests. In other words, you shouldn't exist in Elmaza. Right? So then it's not this creation. But if you are going to be created in this world, the Seder, Chitainis, and pnimius must be. This is what he establishes as a Yesod. So I said three things. Of course, I'm quoting the Maimon. The first thing I said is the Eibishter created the Briya in a Seder of Panav Ocher. And since the Kavanas HaBriya is Bishvil Yisrael, so Bayidin also is Bivon Ocher, that's number one. Number two, from the Dugma from Tshuva, that Tshuva is in fact skipping. But after you skip, you have to fill in the space behind it. I mean, everybody understands this. When the person, have you ever watched a person do Tshuva? When I was in yeshiva, I made a point of watching Baal Tshuva. I was in Maristan for 6 months. I was not very old, but I was not stupid. The idea of a person who's completely fry, becoming completely frum, was so intriguing to me. I was 16 or 17 years old, and I spent a lot of my time, what they call in the world of Maristan, downstairs, with the Baal Tshuva, and I loved to talk to them. And you see a person do Tshuva, it's your mamish thing, a neshama. That same bacha, 6 months later, is not much different than I am. The Eibishter Poshet gives you you see what it means that Yiddish and Neshama, a person is holy, mamish holy, but it doesn't last. Why? Because it's ponim before Achadayim. Then he spends the rest of his life, literally the rest of his life, trying to make up to create the pnimius, to create the Nesoyin, to create the Achadayim for that ponim. And the third idea is Ein Chochan Kabbalah Nesoyin, which is a very interesting concept. There is no way to get Elokus bepnimius in this world in a way that's sustainable unless you went from Acharayim to Ponim. You will crash. You want Rayas, Adam Rishon, and Muhammad Harsina. You can't have better Rayas than that.
Is there also a certain point that a person is about Shulah, there's a certain risk of them falling back, the person never did something wrong?
There's a cloud. The Gemara says Sureira. The Gemara says it's about a gid, but the Emes says the same is true about a Baal Tshuva. Surah Ra means his past is Ra. You're supposed to say Efshi. It's a Maimon Chazal. And the Rebbe Magid said, but a Baal Tshuva has to say Efshi. You can't trust yourself. It's a fact. Of course it's true.
So in a certain way, a person doesn't have an insight that is wiser also?
You have to understand this. A person doesn't mean what? He grew up frum.
Right.
So the Nisayin was his childhood. The Nisayin were his classmates in school who may have made fun of him. The Nisayin was the daily life of being a Frum Yid from earliest years. It's not the same kind of Nisayin. But he's grown into Yiddishkeit. He wasn't born grown up. You know, other Mechav were born grown up. We're all born babies. And this is the Nisayin. But if you weren't born Frum, become Frum as an adult, that Nisayin you don't have. So you have to artificially generate that Nisayin. You understand, it's the Nisayin of living frum in the little things, in the everyday. You know, Baal Tshuva are incredible people. But the most difficult things for them is the domestic things. To make a Shabbos meal, to make a Seder, to clean for Pesach. Why? Because that's not holy. That's not tshuva. That's pnimius. That's the nisayin, and it doesn't work. You know, you're raised as a frum boy. This is in your. That's your nisayin. Your mother said to you. I mean, my parents never bothered me. It was a policy in our house. My father said that the boys should be left alone. We were yeshiva bochim, but before Pesach, that was the exception. We had to clean. Had to participate. Had to work. You know, it's a form of nisayin. You know, it's part of the education. Very important part of education. Anyway, so the seder zacharayim and ponimis. So we learn now something interesting. Yidden left Mitzrayim. They didn't go straight to Yisrael. They got stuck in the Midbar for 40 years. And this is where Amalek attacks. Derech agaf. Maimer amuzgir. I don't know if you've ever read the sefer called the Chumash. I think Rabbi Zevin brings the Maiser that the Ragachov wrote a letter to the Chaim Brisker about some deep Kharif as the Gavard. And Rabbi Chaim answered to him. And the answer was, Matsasi b'sefer yoshan noshan v'chumish mahi. The Ragachov was so sharp that he punched it and forgot a pasuk. The Rabbi Chaim Brisker writes it back. I found it in an ancient sefer. It's called the Chumash. And he quotes the pasuk from Tehda Shevet Ksav. You know, the Rebbe once said, if I bring it, the Ragachov quoted a pasuk, and his mocker was the Gemara Sanhedrin. So it is a imatasi b'sefer yoshan noshan v'chumish mahi. That when Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were supposed to go into Israel right away. The 40 years was plan B. Nachon? Emes? Faket. In this story itself, you see what happens when you short circuit, when you try to hasten the program. But the fact of the matter is that Yidden spent 40 years in the Midbar. Chacha filu, it's taka emes, that theoretically they could have hastened this process, they could have accelerated it if they had served Eibush on a very high level. Bottom line, they spent 40 years. The Rambam, you should know, the Rambam, Mimir Nevuchim, writes a very balabatish thing, and I think people misunderstand that Rambam. They understand it like everything else, very grob. The Rambam writes that if Yidden were left Mitzrayim, they were in no position to fight any war. They were not conditioned for war. Because they were slaves. They didn't have any will, they didn't have any initiative, they didn't have any courage, and you need all those things to be a soldier. So the 40 years in the desert hardened them, you understand? This is a psychological pshat as a. As they state in Rambam. But I think the pshat in Rambam is much, much more than being... And now, any child who learned Chumash right away asked the question in the Rambam, life in the desert was hard. They lived in a cloud, they had Beit HaShel Miriam, they had Mamen HaShemayim. It wasn't exactly hard, you know? It's a good question, Chumash got Teretz of them. But the Rambam means much more, for sure, the Rambam means much more than the actual warrior idea. They had to go into that. So it means push to live in the real world. To live in the real world as a free person requires training. We saw what happened in America. They freed slaves, and it's what is it? 140 years since the slaves were freed, and many of them are still figuring out what the word freedom means. It's a serious thing. You take away a person's master, you don't make him free. Freedom is something that you have to learn, and the Maimon says, "Ein chochma gebal hanesayin." Takes time, and the Rambam writes, "That's why Yidden spent 40 years in the Midbar." Anyway, this is where Amalek comes in. Amalek figures this out. And the way I told you in the Shiur of Thursday, B'derech Efshet, in Mitzrayim, Amalek can't touch you, because when you're Madreg of Katnis, all you have is Amunah. Can't be better than that. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, this Maimed is Mechadish. When you reach the Madreg of Pnimius, Amalek can't touch you again. But since the Eivishti created a world in such a fashion, the Ale Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim El Eretz Tevi Rechov Ezav Rechov Advosh, that you have to have a time in the interim where you've got away from the old and you have not come into the new. And you cannot avoid that stage, that condition, that circumstance. And that's where Amalek has to be wiped out. This is what the Maimed is about. Okay. Now, what's the biggest chiddush of this Maimed? Again, I told this to you on Thursday, I think a couple of minutes. The biggest chiddush of this Maimed is that Pnimius can combat Amalek. In other words, when you learn the typical Amalek Maimer, you're always taught, there's only one thing that combats Amalek. Moshe. Chochma, Bittl, Moshe. That's where Amalek was defeated by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Menachnuma, the Bittl of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why Moshe had to fight this battle right away. Why? Because since Amalek is certain, for no purpose, you can't, any person who brings the smallest amount of reason into his experience with Amalek will lose. The only way to combat Amalek is with higher than reason. This Maimer says, wait. To fight Amalek, you need higher than reason. What the Maimer called on Thursday, Ahava Rabba. But when you're in a complete state of pnimius, Amalek cannot touch you. So in other words, there's another way of dealing with Amalek other than Chochmah. Fakert, the opposite of that, Bittel, the opposite of that, Ahava Rabba. We spoke about on Thursday is Erev Sefer Chava, Erev Zavas Chalav Advash, which means for the Kabbalists that if you're holding in a Madrega of Pnimius and Oires, Erev Zavas Chalav Advash, you're holding a Madrega of Pnimius and even from Kalim, Erev Sefer Chava, so then Amalek cannot touch you either. It's a big chidush. So let's talk about Chitzonius and Pnimius. Okay? And the truth of the matter is, this is a very important conversation, it's a basic conversation. You have a Kamav, a Kamav, a Kamav, but Achit. It appears in a lot of Amalek Hasidus. Although this maimon has a bit of a different form, but the toichin, the nekuda, is the same. Let's give a hakdama. There's a word which is employed in chassidus often. It's very basic, very important, and that is the word metzias. The translation of metzias means that exists. Right? The translation of the word yesh that I told you innumerable times means an independent existence. So being a metzias doesn't mean that you're a balgaiva necessarily. Your metzias could be the service of Hashem, but you're serving the Eibishter as a metzias. You're a creation. You're a thing. What are the requirements? What are the definitions of a metzias? Most fundamentally, time, space, and form. I exist in time, that means I change. I exist in space, that means I repel other beings that want to exist in the same space that I am in. And they have some kind of form, some kind of limitation. It's a metzius. The rule is, logic dictates one metzius, and the second metzius are a conflict. Yeah. You're sitting on a chair, another person can't sit in the same chair. Could you and a malach sit on the same chair? Sure. Why? Because you're different metzius. Could two malachim sit in the same chair? No. Because a malach is also a metzias. Now, however you bring a malach into a makam gashmi is a different issue. But one malach and another malach is a conflict. A malach and a person is not a conflict because they're different types of metzias. But two metzias of a similar type, conflict. You cannot have one metzias and a second metzias occupying the same space. They contradict one another. If you want to have a second metzias, you have to eliminate the first. You can give many, many, many examples for this. But this is the way it is. Metzias is a steed to metzias. For example, simple example. I'm involved in Chochmah. What's Chochmah? Chochmah is creativity. Chochmah is intuition. Right? Chochmah is creativity. Chochmah is the part of the brain that comes up with new ideas. And its entire mechanism, its entire method, its entire operation is about coming up with original ideas. It's a certain type of function. And it produces ideas in a certain type of way. When Chofriya gives you an idea, it's not a finished product. It's a kernel. It's a seed. And for every good idea Chochmah has, he probably has 100 bad ones. I'm just saying this just to throw it out there. But the Chochmah is not perfect, right? Chochmah's metzias is creativity and intuition. Okay? Bina is also metzias. Bina's metzias is to analyze and to be thorough and to be exact. In other words, Bina is everything Chochmah is not. He's not interested in new ideas. He's not interested in intuition, in feeling things intellectually. He's interested in integrity. Does it make sense? Chochmah is a metzias. When you are engaged in Chochmah, to say it in more edler terms, if your chush, if your tendency, if your strength as an intellectual is Chochmah, Bina is a conflict for you. People who have to sit and analyze everything you do, you say, I'm coming up with new ideas, you have to break every one of them down before I get a chance. You have to analyze and kill them all. Such gvaldike chaps, give me a chance. Let them sit on the plate for 5 minutes before you throw them in the garbage. You know, every good idea is, you know, preceded by 100 bad ones. Everybody understands that. But the chochmah is a machadish, it's his thing. A maven is an analyst who dissects and develops and opens up. And he decides if it's viable, and he examines the problem, and tries to find solutions. There's nothing creative about a maven, but he's very realistic, he's very down to earth. These two metzias are a fundamental conflict. They're a stida. When a person is engaged in Chochmah, they cannot be engaged in Bina. When a person is engaged in Bina, and it's a whole different type of personality, it's a whole different part of the brain. Okay, I'll give you a different example. Different example. Sheikh Lamidus, the mind and the heart. The mind is a metzias. The mind is a metzias that wants to get lost in idea. That's what it wants to do. There are truths, and I want to connect to them. That's the human mind. Not I want to sell them on the market and profit. That's something else. There are truths, and I want to consume them. I want to access them. There's an emes in the welt, ich will am wissen. I want a little bit more of the Eibishter's truth. That's what Seichel does. And you're dedicated to that pursuit. So there's a humility, there is a hunger, and there is also a preoccupation. There's a quiescence. There's a I'm busy. I'm not here. I'm where the ideas are. It's a metzias. What's an emotional person? An emotional person is about me, my feelings, my reactions, how this applies to me. When a person is engaged in avodah shabalev, when a person is in an emotional state of connecting to Hashem, which is a wonderful thing, we should all have such a problem, you cannot at the same time be involved in ideas, because ideas are not about how I feel about the Eibishter, they're about the Eibishter per se. Every metzias is a stira to a different metzias. I'm going to give you a different example. There is something called the Ratzon, which you guys, of course, learned about in the Maimer. And of course, the way this Maimer is written is the Chayda a little bit backwards. But the Ratzon is discussed in Siv Vav. Moich and Amideis are discussed in Siv, I guess, Gimel. And Ratzon is discussed in Siv Vav. Why did Rebbe does it this way? I don't know. He puts it in the wrong order, but he has Cheshbainis, I'm sure. Ratzon is not called a Karech HaNefesh, it's called Gili HaNefesh. Ratzon means the soul speaks. The soul speaks means the whole person. The Ratzon means my neshama wants. When the neshama wants, that's a metzias. That's a metzias. What kind of a metzias is it? It's a metzias of a rush, of an urge, of a thrust that's so consuming. A person could think rationally when he's in a state of Ratzon? Impossible. A person can't even feel in a measured way in his heart. He's just driven by this want that's so powerful. One metzias is a stira to a second metzias. Yet the Rebbe Fashtetas. What I just said is so simple, so commonsensical. Again, people often are not meisim lev, they don't pay attention to it. But this is a very obvious truth, everybody understands. Which means, and again, this is also a classic idea, that every step of Seder Hishtalshlus is a bumpy road. Anytime you make a transition, we talk about a chain reaction. What's made Seder Hishtalshlus? A chain reaction of steps. Ratzon leads to Chochmah, leads to Bina, leads to Chesed, leads to Gvura. Not true at all. Ratzon and Chochmah are enemies. Chochmah and Bina are enemies. Bina and Midas are enemies. Midas and Nehi are enemies. Nehi and Maise. I don't know about Nehi and Maise. They're also enemies. It's a stop and start, stop and start, stop and start, stop and start. We call it Meitzer HaGoren. Between the Moech and Levi, it's Meitzer HaGoren. And between the Chagas and the Nehi, we have what's called the Kruma, the Posseg B'mu'ed Banash, the diaphragm, which separates between the Yevariah and the Shema. The lungs and the heart, and the Yevariah Ikel, which is the stomach and the intestines and so forth. The system of Hishtalshlus is a bumpy one. Why? One Metzias is a different Metzias. Means you have to have a chafetz, a want. Want by definition means it's an urgency. Yeah, you can't open up the Gemara until you calm down. That rotzen is a stira to the davar anechpatz, to what you desire. Why? Rotzen is an incredible urgency, an incredible urge that's so intense, that's so consuming. I become my want. It's like putting two people in the same chair. If I'm sitting on a chair, you can't put another similar metzias in the same chair. When I'm in a state of ratzon, I can't be in a state of chochmah. When I'm in a state of creativity, I can't be in a state of analysis and thoroughness and exactitude. When I'm in a state of intellectualism, I can't be in a state of emotion. They conflict. So this whole Seder Hishtalshlus is so difficult. It's a hard process. You want something, in order to get it, you have to stop wanting it. Because the want conflicts together. Everybody understands this. You run too fast, you smash your head. Then the steps of getting it. Chochmah is one step. Bin is another step. The Pnimi Samir is a third step. And here's a fourth step. Machshav Nimash is a fifth, sixth, and seventh steps. It's constantly stopping and starting. Why? Because in each step of the Hishtalshalos, you are taking on the form of a Matthias. And in as much as you take on a form of a Matthias, one Matthias is steered to different Matthias. Common sense. Dovar Achi Poshut. It's very many can understand this. So there's a sugyan chasidus, and that's really what the Maimid is saying, although the Maimid says everything except the point. That's called Pnimiyas HaMechir VaMidus. Or sometimes it's called Mechir Midus de Gadlus. And the sugya revolves around the following word, the Eliki. The Eliki. The Lashon is Eliki V'lei Sichli. But you can say Eliki V'lei Ritzoni and Eliki V'lei Rikshi also. That means when I want God, there's the want and then there's the Eibishter. The want has a lot of urgency. The want is a mitzvah. The want is a person very aroused with a will that comes from his neshama, from his nefesh, with a thrust, with a direction, with a will which is so powerful that he can't do anything until that will is going to subside. But what he wants is godliness. Godliness is called the built-in mitzvah in the mitzvah. Hidden inside my want is what I want. So what I want is the non-mitzvah of my mitzvah. I want, yeah? I want God. If you take away from me the want of God, then I'm not interested in God. But if I have God Himself, that want becomes a built-in mitzvah that I want. I want the Eibishter. But it's very, very quiet. And it's very, very non-conflicted. It's not a steer. The metzias of Ratzin is a steer to the metzias of Chochmah. The built-in metzias of Ratzin, what our Maimon calls Pnimiyas Ratzin, it's quiet. You know why it's quiet? This is the language that I use. You don't have to convince yourself to want. You want naturally. Like the Maimon says, when you want something that you don't really need, you have to make yourself want it. You want a job. You want a job. You don't want a job. You want to eat. The only way to eat is to have a job. So you have to convince yourself that you need a job. That's called the chitzenius haratz. But that you want to live, you don't have to convince yourself. That's you. That want is deeper, but it's also quieter. The desire to live and not to die, the desire of self-preservation, is a stronger ratz than the ratzah for a mischa, for a panosa. But it's quiet. Why? Again, the psychological language of it is, you don't have to convince yourself to want, this is you, it's your want. When a person is holding in a madrega of pnimiyas haratzin, that means they have what's called the eliki, the godliness, the thing that they really want, not the urgency of the want, and that is not a matiz. I want God. But my desire for God is so quiet, it's so still. You know, I've given you many times these examples. These are gewaldike maises. These are moidendike maises. You want to talk about metzias and built-in metzias. If I had more time, came in the Chmese Fabrengen, we don't have enough time. I read years ago in Fachabad that mit Yoram Tzrik, when the Yishuv and the Tzrol was first establishing itself, there were all kinds of personalities. There were mamish holy Jews who wandered around like beggars. There was in Tel Aviv a Yid, I think he was a shoemaker. Everybody knew he was a tzaddik nis. How is he a tzaddik nis that everybody knows? Everybody was like this. The man had midas trumias, the most quiet, einfach a man, never was in a rush, never got upset. Also, they still modest. And the whole Tel Aviv knew he was a holy man. Nobody had proof because he was a tzaddik nis. In 1948, Hest, during the War of Independence, there were sniper fires in the streets near Tel Aviv, a city called Yafo. Yafo became Tel Aviv upon him. I don't know very good geography, but I recently discovered this detail. And Yafo is an ancient city, Tel Aviv is a modern city. and there were literally Arabs on one side of the street, in Israel, you know what I'm saying, and they shot anything that moved. So it was sakonas nefesh just to walk out of the house. He was sitting with his wife and an only daughter, starving. So he says to his wife, "I'm going to go to the bakery and get bread." So his wife says to him, "You go to the bakery, you're not coming home." So he tells his wife, "Het vetter." He says, I don't know what language he said it in, but I'm imagining he said it in Yiddish. "I won't see them, and they won't see me. I won't see them, and they won't see me." And I could say that too. Anyway, he went to the bakery, got bread, and came home with no bullet holes. He didn't see them, and they didn't see him.
What's the bakery?
Yeah. You're stuck in the house. You're stuck in the house, make bread.
Yeah, you couldn't leave the bakery.
Now, what's the pshat in the mice? The pshat in the mice is a nes goli min hashamayim. The pshat in the tzaddik. And they should protect him. Simple story, yeah? But you could add a psychological element. And again, don't take this more seriously than it should be taken, but do think about it. When a person walks in the street in a war zone, what do you see? Him or his fear? Every human being radiates, oozes chemicals. We send messages. Right? This, you know, in the physical level, it's called electromagnetism. Because when I bang into you, you know, I don't walk through you, not because of my physicality. And your physicality, but because of electricity. That's a fact. Psychologically, you send off messages of your mood. People, you walk into, if one walks the room, right away, everybody can sense where this person is. A person walks through the door, you can sense what kind of person he is. Sometimes more, sometimes less. People communicate chemically. If a person is able to disappear, not physically, but in terms of the normal communication that go on between a person and a person, I don't mean this literally, but I do want you to contemplate this. He becomes invisible. Because you don't see a person, you see a person's relationship with you. And if a human being has enough mayach to say, "You don't exist to me," then he doesn't exist to you either. And I'm not saying you should try this at home, and I'm not saying this literally. I'm bringing out the story as a mashal. Chassidus says a deep person has that capacity. You know, Steinsaltz wrote many years ago about the Rebbe, a little blurb. It was so wonderful. He writes, people say the Rebbe is a tzaddik nisa. I read this as a child in the 70s. The Rebbe hides. He says, Rebbe's not hiding. He's not hiding. He said, whatever the Rebbe does, he does only for himself. And any person who does things only for himself, people simply don't see. It's like a valdik avot, it's an edel avot. If you do something total pnimius, you don't have to hide. People see what is meant to be seen. Whether you want people to see, or you want people not to see, or you're not sure, or a little bit you want. When a person is a total pnimi, he becomes unnoticed. Not because he isn't there, not because you didn't see him, because he didn't take up any space. That's such a built-in mitzvah. So there's something called the pnimius haratzon. Pnimius haratzon means when my will for the Eibishter is so deep, where it's not about will, it's about Eibishter. When my will for the Eibishter is not about will, it's about Eibishter, that will is not a Matthias. So Chassidus says, a moidin de kizav, that this idea that Ishtarshos is a bumpy road of stopping and starting and stopping and starting and stopping and starting, from Ratzin to Chochmah is a hefzik. From Chochmah to Bina is a hefzik. From Bina to Midas is a hefzik. For me, this Tanihi is a hefzik. For me, this Machshav is a hefzik. Machshav, why? Have you Metzias? There's a different Metzias. The biggest Mayach is supposed to be Ma'ed Alev, yeah? But there's no greater Steer than Mayach Alev. Why? The Metzias of Seichel is different than the Metzias of Yitzis. It's been a Kotze la Kotze. Hofchi imamish. Said Chassidus, that's only regular Midas. What they call Mayach Midas, the Katnos, or Mayach Midas, which is not the Godless. But if a person is in a state of Godless, what's made Godless? A person has raised himself to the Madrega of the Liki, where his want for God is only God and not want, that the Ratzon can simultaneously be a Machadish, and simultaneously be a Maven, and simultaneously be a Margish. The idea that I can't feel and reason at the same time is because my feeling is one kind of a Matthias, and my understanding is a different kind of metzias. One metzias and another metzias is a conflict. But if a person is able to reach the Eliki in every point, it's a high madrege, it's a deep madrege. There's no stira between Aleph and Tav. That's what this Maimon is saying. El Eretz Teva Rechava. El Eretz Teva Rechava B'dvar. El Eretz Teva Rechava means a person reaches a state where they call it Pnimiyas HaRatzen, Pnimiyas HaChochma, Pnimiyas HaBina, and Pnimiyas HaMidas. What's the type of Pnimiyas? Not I understand it better. I understand without goof. I understand without metzias. I understand still at hate, quietly, passively. Two people go to a shiur. And the shiur, let's say, is above both of their heads. But one of the two gets very, very nervous, gets very, very uptight about the fact that he doesn't get it completely. And it inhibits him. It absolutely crushes his capacity to understand. The other person also was a bit overwhelmed, but he's able to hold himself and collect himself and listen. Now, the second person is not going to understand the shiur completely, but at least his calm allows him to hear the shiur and then later on to process it. Why does one person react one way, another person react another way? The answer is the first is a bigger metzias. And the second one is a little bit less metzias. And basically, of course, metzias means ego, but it's a lot more complicated than that. But the essence of it is that some people, they're more of a metzias. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad, it's a fact. And therefore, they have a much more difficult time relating to other metzias, because bittul is harder for them. And other people have an easier time. And that's really the difference between the chitzenias and the pnimias we're talking about over here in the Maimir. Because what is the solution to not understanding something? What's the solution to not understanding something? There's a wall. And when you get through it, what do? You pound your head against the wall. Huh? Boom! I'm going to win, yeah? That's one solution, yeah? But there's another solution. Sit down, calm down, and think. But not everybody is able to do that. Bemet. At each stage in our lives, we know this. When we look at things that we did when we were younger, I don't know why I was so nervous. When I look at myself today, there's certain things happen to me, especially things which I have no experience with, that make me crazy. In 5 years from today, it's going to be a joke. How come my brother-in-law, for example, I happen to have such a brother-in-law, is always collected? Any situation he encounters, he sits down and he thinks about it. He's blessed. What can I tell you? That's the difference between a built-in metzias and a metzias. A metzias means you're trying to do the right thing, but you're trying to do the right thing. It's better than not trying to do the right thing, but the trying so inhibits, it so hamstrings, it so limits your ability to succeed. Because the metzias is like hitting your head against the wall and hoping that the wall breaks before your head does. Can you avoid it? So the Maimon says, not entirely. It's a process. You leave Mitzrayim, you start with Acherayim. This means Acherayim. This means Chitzonius. Stop and start. Stop and start. I want to learn Torah. Okay, I want to learn Torah. I can't learn. I'm too excited. Yeah. I start learning Torah. I'm a Chalash Azach Avil Dechadushim. I have no idea what's flying. I don't understand myself what I said. Now, let me think about this. Is it true? Is it false? Does it make? Or I go to a shiur and I hear you. First time you go to a shiur, you hear a gedank, a rayon, a thought. To you, it's a flash. You need to be able to process it. But if you're so excited about the new ideas, you can't process them. Yeah, you have to stop that world and go into the world of analysis. And if you see how the Rebbe explains it so sensitively, so nicely, in page Kufay and Tess. That when you analyze something thoroughly and hands on, you never get it. You always get indirect. When you need to analyze something by touching it with your proverbial hands, you have to use examples, you have to use illustrations, you have to use even mashalim, you never get to the heart of it. Unless you figure out how to calm down so completely that you can relate the idea without having to touch it so much. This is a transition from chitzonius to pnimius. And this maimon is saying, a yid comes out of Mitzrayim. What is Mitzrayim? Only Amunah. Right? The Rebbe says, he says, again, Sif Gimel, he says, don't misunderstand, the Amunah is the most important thing in the world. He brings the Gemara, Boch, Habakkuk, Hamid, and Alachas, Kol HaTeh, the Kul is Amunah. Look to me, Kol Mokayim, B'negei, Elinyana, Yizgalos. Which means Amunah is everything in your neshama. But as a person, Emunah is not everything. As a person, you need to bring God into yourself. Emunah is not in you, it's outside of you. So when you're in Mitzrayim and all you have is Emunah, Amalek can't touch you because there's nobody to touch, just Emunah. Now let's give the other example. Moshe Rabbeinu talks to you and you can't listen. You can't listen. Why not? You have no Caleb, he's giving you air, you can't listen. But you can do. You can act. But you can't listen. You can't understand. You can't feel. You can only act. So in Mitzrayim, you have only Amunah. You have only Bittul. There's no more Pnimiyus than your connection to the Eivishter. There's no Giloy Momayla, as the Rebbe calls it. The Meisha Rabbeinu is giving you, and you're not living on the Shamo Meisha. Mekei Tzeruach. And then you leave Mitzrayim. Your goal is Eretz Zavas Cholov Advash, translates the Rebbe. Pnimiyus Chochma, Pnimiyus Bina. And again, although he says it later in the Maimed, you have to understand that he really means Pnimiyus Haratzen, which brings to Pnimiyus Chochma, which brings to Pnimiyus Bina, which brings to Pnimiyus Hamidus. What's Pnimiyus Haratzen? That my desire for God is not for something which I can do without, like I need a job, but my desire for God is my very essence, my very identity. And because my desire for God is my very essence and my very identity, it's quiet. Not quiet, I don't care. Quiet means there's no need to convince myself that I want it. I'm not carrying my nerves with me into the room because there's a pnimius. So when you're machadish, a chiddish in chokhma, hadverter, yes, on a level of pnimius, what kind of chiddish is it? You can visualize it. It's not a flash of an idea that makes you nervous because I'm not sure if I understand it. The riyad chokhma, right? You visualize it, right? I'm telling you, it doesn't mind it, yes? Yeah, and then he says, and when you have pnimius and chokhma, then you have pnimius, when I want to understand something, I have to touch it. I don't have to daftly grasp it with words. I'm able to step away from it and relate to it from a greater distance, which allows me to relate to the essence of it. To use holy words, and we really should have another hour for explaining it. We don't have it. You're relating to the Oyer HaSeich, and much less to the Oasis and the Metzias HaSeich. You see, the difference between a trained mind and an untrained mind is not who's smarter. It's who's more efficient, who's more of a professional learner, who's more edel in his iyun. What is the criteria? The criteria is a person who's unschooled has to touch everything. And touching things materialize, makes them a gush, makes them into a metzias. A person who's schooled is able to allow the things to be and allow himself to be, and instead of having to change the ideas to suit him, he allows the ideas to be. So it relates to the ruchnius of the idea. And the Rebbe says, that's the emes of the idea. So you don't need, like he says in the Maimon, what kind of fancy words does he use? You don't need to have Hashara Bovad, Dugmois and Svaris, and Mishalim. But when you're able to relate to the idea, and you don't have to make the idea into a Metzias, because you're a Metzias, and you're a nervous wreck when you walk into a Shir. And the only way to get that Shir is to control it. Which could allow the Shir to come to you. You can relate to that. That's a Mandavar. This is an example which I've given you so many times over the years, yes? Everybody does this. I did this as a student, and I did it as a teacher. Anytime a student says to a teacher, in other words, and I did it as a student, and now I am on the receiving end of it as a teacher, and I'm not as classy as Aviel, but I'm as impatient. Why does a student say, in other words? What is the meaning of that phrase? Why do I say it in other words? If I said it this way, say it another way. To use psychological language, you want to control the idea. And you want to control the idea, you want to put it into a familiar form. This is why I say, and this is really, really true, correlation is always simplification. Anytime you medame milsa le milsa, you compare one thing to another, you make both of them less. Limud is not about shivyin, It's about avchona. Learning is not about comparisons. Learning is by definition about distinctions. A shidduch, he made comparisons. You understand? When a student says, in other words, what's the student saying? You said something, it makes me nervous. Now, the part of what the teacher said that makes students nervous, that's the point of the shiur. That's what the teacher is really trying to say. But it's unfamiliar to the student. And the student is a metzias. And he needs to take the divrei rav as a metzias. So by putting it into his words, he very subconsciously takes away the edelkeit of what the rav said, and he's comfortable. In other words, he killed the shiur. And the rav will listen to him and say, it's a very interesting mashal, but I wouldn't use that mashal. And the student is plotting. Here I am, I tried so hard, I came up with a mashal. How come he's such a big brother guy there? He can't allow me to say avoid. And the Teretz says, because he's an educator. And what you have here is a conflict between the world of Metzias and the world of building Metzias. And that's what this Maimon is saying. You leave Mitzrayim, you're taking a journey. What is the journey? The journey is I'm going to have a relationship with Eibishter, with my Ratzin, with my Chochmah, with my Bina, with my Midas. What's wrong with Emunah alone? What's wrong with Kabbalah Sol alone? The answer is it's only Mitzrayim. You could serve the Eibishter that way, but it's Golos. It's safe, but it's not Erev Tei Berachava, it's not Erev Zav Achavut Vash. The Eibishter did not create the world we should survive on Emunah alone. You have to be his Golos, yeah? When you step out of Mitzrayim, when you make the decision, okay, I'm going to engage my Ratzin, and my Chochmah, and my Bina, and my Midas, Amalek is right there. Because now you're vulnerable. Because you don't know how to be with Ratzin, with Seichel, with Chochmah, with Bina, with Midas. You have no conditioning. So you do it to such a Metzias Dekaif, and everything is so loud, and Amalek comes along and makes fun of you. But when you achieve, when you come to, so to speak, to the promised land, Dvash is Bina. Dvash is Gvura, by the way. That's why it's Bina, because Bina is Sada Gvura. Cholav is Chesed. Although it's interesting, in the Maimonides series about Cholav, what do they say Cholav? In Gemara it says that Cholav is from the Dam, from the mother that was Nishtanev and Nasa Cholav. So not only did it go from Fleshiks to Milchiks, it went from Tresh to Kosher. There's a whole Maimonides series analyze it. This is going from Gvura to Chesed, as they state. But he says Cholav is Chesed. Chochma, Bina is Dvash, and there's understanding things in Chochmah, understanding things in Bina, and then there's delighting in Chochmah, and delighting in Bina, this is Pnimius. As you get closer and closer to Pnimius, what's the right words? Your connection to the things you're trying to connect to is much more natural. You know?
Watch when young people learn. Very often, young people, he's a 16, 17 year old, good Bachrim, scream their way through the entire day. Not necessarily because they're arguing. Pasha, this is the tone of their limud. As a bachar, I did it. Now when I see people scream when they learn or hear people screaming when they're learning, I can't take it because it's such a distraction, such a waste of energy and such a distraction. Why do you think they're screaming? Because the screaming is the metzius necessary to sustain the focus of seichel. Without it, the seichel stops.
If you think about it, that's not energy of mind, that's wasting energy. But when you don't know how to learn, you need that much metzias to squeeze out a little bit of seichel.
Why do you think when a person gets older they have a problem with that screaming?
As you become more of a bal seichel, you do it much quieter, much less energy, and much more efficient.
So it's necessary, or you should train yourself to not scream?
You can't train yourself to do anything, you have to grow into. Of course you have to not scream, it's ridiculous, it's foolish. But if by not screaming you're not going to learn, then maybe you should scream.
Okay.
First days.
When you get a little old, you become less of a metzias. You become more of a true intellectual, and therefore, so that screaming not only is no longer necessary, but it actually becomes a helm behest.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a klod. You get the picture. So that's what the Maimon is saying. Amole gets you when you leave Mitzrayim before you come to Eretz Yisrael. Those are the words. Okay.